You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What's this button do? Whoa!
You are now entering the green world.
As New Zealanders across the Motu witness the fallout of extreme weather, including landslips and flooding, climate experts reiterate the importance of connecting these events to a wider trend of increased frequency and intensity climate events. In particular, experts including Dr. Kevin Trenberth and sustainability lecturer Sasha Mayer say that New Zealand's existing infrastructure needs to be upgraded to account for how future national disasters and climate events will impact Aotearoa. For Green World this week, news teamer Sarah spoke to both of these experts about the challenges New Zealand will face on this issue. First, Sarah spoke to University of Auckland-affiliated climate scientist Dr. Kevin Trenberth about the drivers of extreme weather conditions, starting out by asking how they reflect a larger pattern of temperature change.
So global warming is certainly happening. The oceans are at record high levels in 2025, and there's an especially warm spot around New Zealand and especially just to the east of New Zealand across towards the Chatham Islands, exceptionally warm, record high levels. A warmer ocean is vulnerable to a lot of evaporation of moisture into the atmosphere. But there's an overall pattern to the weather at the moment, which is related to the phenomenon called El Niño, or in this case, the opposite of that, La Niña conditions, which is cool conditions in the tropical Pacific from the dateline across to the Americas. And instead, it's been quite warm north of Australia, around Indonesia, and so on, and a lot of convection and rain has occurred in that area. There's been a lot of rain in Queensland earlier in the year. From about May onwards, I think, there was a lot of rain in southwest Queensland, and it led to a new lake or a revision of a lake called Lake Eyre in the middle of Australia. That lake doesn't have any rivers that flow out, and as a result, the water just sits there and eventually evaporates. But they've had a lot of rain in that area, and also on the east coast, they've had quite a bit of storms on the east coast of Australia. But at the moment, there's a huge, wide atmospheric river, is what I will call it, coming from all the way from Indonesia down through the Coral Sea, the North Tasman Sea, right towards New Zealand. And embedded within it, there are several disturbances. You might call them weak tropical cyclones. They're not strong wind systems, but that is causing some of the flooding that has occurred in Northland and in Auckland here. You know, it's been raining continuously for the last day and a half at least. Mm. And then there was, you know, rain earlier, and even earlier in January and late December, there was quite a bit of rain in all of this area. And it's really brought about by the pattern of sea temperatures across the entire Pacific, and plus global warming, and it's producing exceptional rains in New Zealand at the moment and leading to flooding and a lot of difficulties.
Why is it important to understand ocean temperature changes when looking at natural disasters and the flooding and severe rain that we're seeing taking place in Aotearoa?
Global warming arises from the changes in composition of the atmosphere, mostly a buildup of carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is about 53% higher than it was in pre-industrial times. It produces global warming along with increases in methane, and there are other complications from things like pollution. A lot of that heat ends up in the ocean. Over 90% of it ends up in the ocean. It's quite an involved process getting it into the ocean because the ocean is stably stratified. That means there's warm water on top of cold, and so getting more warm water into the ocean takes quite a bit of action from tides and winds and so on, mixing it down. And that's sort of the memory of global warming. And that's what is coming back to haunt us now.
Yeah, in that vein, in the coming years, what are you expecting to be the key climate challenges that we face in this country?
Yes, so it's not the same pattern every year, but this pattern we've got right now is somewhat similar to what happened in early 2023. And that's when there was major flooding in the Auckland area with over 250 millimeters of rain in one day on the 27th of January. And then later on, there was Tropical Cyclone Gabrielle that produced enormous problems all through the north and eastern parts of New Zealand. And so it doesn't happen every year, because it depends upon things like the El Nino phenomenon. I think this La Nina is likely to die in about a month or so, and we will maybe go into a weak El Nino, or it's not clear exactly what will happen. But, you know, all of this is sort of embroidery, if you like, on top of the global warming. And the fact that the oceans are warming, and that means that there is more moisture going into the atmosphere, that winter does rain, it rains harder, and the risk of flooding is greater. And so what we have to worry about around New Zealand are two things. One is coastal, rising sea levels goes along with that, and coastal erosion, and then all of the heavy rains and flooding. And this relates to having a really good look at drainage systems. Too many places around New Zealand have been built in what used to be floodplains. At the time, they were maybe cleaned up a little bit by putting drains in of some sort, but often those drains were not adequate to deal with the kinds of torrents of water that are occurring now. And having another look at, you know, what has happened in the past and where houses have been built or other structures have been built and what the flow of water is in that vicinity could help prepare for some of the flows of water that we may expect in the future. And, you know, where the worst rains occur varies. That's just sort of part of the weather. But it happens somewhere in and around New Zealand all the time these days. We've seen earlier, you know, flooding in the Nelson area, for instance, and Canterbury. And so this is where New Zealand, I think, is quite vulnerable, and it's certainly worth having a really good look at the infrastructure.
Following this interview, Sarah spoke to University of Auckland lecturer Sasha Mayer about the political response to these observable climate impacts.
This past week alone of extreme weather has been another poignant reminder that a lot of people in New Zealand are quite vulnerable to flooding and to extreme weather conditions. You've spoken previously about the need in this space for genuine innovation rather than risk management. Could you delve into this issue a little bit?
Yeah, what I mean really is more around the need to think innovatively around transformation as an opportunity, so a positive experience, rather than taking a risk management approach, which is very much, you know, it is very much seeing these things which are out of my control, threatening my life or my livelihood, and to have a negative feeling around climate change or around adaptation. So to begin with, just reframing the conversation and having a real good think around what actually risk means and who's defining risk, and then who's putting, is risk about just about money? So is it just about property? Because there are a whole lot of other things that also are at risk of being lost because of climate impacts, and that's not just about property. It's also about people's cultural and social values and the way they feel about where they live and also their possessions. So, you know, thinking about what does actually risk mean and who's defining risk? Is it just the government? Is it just the government of the day? Is it insurers that are defining what risk means to us? Because obviously I'd be quite concerned around that because they have distinct profit motives. So, yeah, just broadening out the conversation and maybe thinking about climate change other than just thinking about managing risk is probably the good place to start. I mean, just to carry on that conversation, you know, there are some things that we cannot manage. There are some things that are truly out of our control as well with climate change, and having an upfront conversation around what they might be and then what should we do to cope with the fact that there might be things that we can't manage away.
Yeah, speaking on this the importance of how we frame this issue and like the kind of things that we address and the kind of priorities I suppose we have, whether it's economic or social. Who do you think should have more of a say or be more central, I suppose, in terms of decision making? What kind of framework do you think that we should have in terms of how this conversation is had and whose voices are kind of centered in this space in order to ensure that we're doing the right things by the right people?
Yeah, to begin with, it has to be a democratic public conversation, and it has to be well-resourced, so it can't be under-resourced in terms of who comes to the table. And what's really important, and what I've seen over and over and over again with policy conversations in New Zealand, are the same characters going to have the same conversations with government. And so we see the insurers, we see the banks, we see the financial institutions who clearly have expertise in this space, and I get that, and that's fantastic, but they've also got an ulterior or a specific motive, you know, which is an ulterior, it is about profit. So who else is actually coming to the table other than the same cast of characters to talk about what is at risk and what we should do? I'd like to see that conversation broadened out and it truly being about, you know, just talking about value other than just property as well. The current government has narrowed the conversation down to right it to being only about the property market. With climate change and climate adaptation is far more broader than that.
As we approach the next general election at the end of this year, are you optimistic at all about the extent to which political parties will step up on climate policy?
No, not really. I mean, I think that if you look at where climate change is sitting on the policy radar with most advanced economies, not just in New Zealand but other countries as well, it's taken a backseat to concerns around the economy and concerns geopolitical conversations as well and concerns. So until we can actually have a mature conversation and see that climate change intersects with these others, I don't have much hope in terms of increasing our awareness and doing something proactively about climate change.
In the coming years, what do you think should be our priorities for our political leaders, but also in the community? I suppose we all have a role to play, and even as individuals, we have a role in responding to what's happening in order to effectively prepare for the array of climate impacts that we are likely to face in Aotearoa and obviously, of course, across the world.
Yeah, I think the conversation really is about being able to make the connection between, oh, I'm getting, you know, my house is being flooded, to, oh, we're not actually putting a tax on agriculture emissions. So, you know, what are we doing with mitigation? What is our responsibility? You know, are we stepping up as a country? Are we addressing mitigation and adaptation? What are we doing in climate change? You know, making those sort of connections is really critical, and that's what I think needs to happen at, you know, all levels of society. Everyone has a role to play in making those connections and talking about the systemic issue of climate change and how it does intersect with all these things that matter, and more increasingly so. And because until we actually are able to make that connection, we're not actually going to be able to address the root cause. It'll just be, you know, building a bit of a seawall here or putting in EV chargers there, when that really isn't what we need. We need across the board systems level thinking. The most important thing when people listen to and think about climate change is that it's actually a political issue. And if it's a political issue, then awareness is really critical, and so is communication. So to not feel like it's your own personal responsibility to go around reducing your carbon footprint, that is of course important. But more importantly, it's about having conversations with other people and to help other people to, and yourself, to see the connections between what is presented to us as completely separate issues and problems when they're all interlinked.
That was University of Auckland lecturer on sustainability, Sasha Mayer, and climate scientist Dr. Kevin Trenberth talking about the extreme weather conditions in New Zealand in the context of climate change and policy.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.